The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hello? Anybody home? Anybody there? Hello? 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 Oh, hello. Hi. Can I help you? Yes. Hi, my name's Cindy Johnson, and I'm here on behalf of President Joe Biden. And I would like to talk to you about the COVID vaccine. What are you going to do, friends, when that happens? When you get the knock on the door, what are you going to do? Because a friend of mine texted me earlier today that had some other friends here in North Carolina, Cornelius, North Carolina, where I don't really know where that is, but it's here in North Carolina. And the report was that some federal representatives were starting to do the door knocking campaign to come out there and talk to you about the COVID-19 vaccine, whether you've gotten it or not. Can they ask that question? Of course not. That's personal health information. HIPAA protects you from being able to have to answer that question. Plus, there's some other things going on there legally when a member of the government, which reminds me of Ronald Reagan. Welcome back, by the way. This is Steve Noble. Hope you had a good weekend. That was the quote. Ronald Reagan said, I'm here with the government. I'm with the government. I'm here to help. That's how you know when you need to turn and run in the other direction. Thanks, Lisa. Cornelius is in the Lake Norman area down north of Charlotte, North Carolina. So Celia, by the way, on Facebook Live works in Cornelius. Let me know, Celia, if you hear about any of these federal folks showing up to the door. So I want to talk about that today. I really want to go. This is my message to Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra. It's this. That was a big kiss. Let me start with this, because there's so many things on the COVID front that are absolutely infuriating me and concerning me, but doesn't touch my peace, doesn't touch my contentment. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Secretary Becerra. You can't, as MC Hammer said, can't touch this. Can't touch my peace. Can't touch my salvation. Can't touch my future. Whatever you want to do to me in the meantime, whatever, but it's temporary. So let's just start with this. This gets me going in a lot of different directions. This was just last week, HHS Secretary Becerra. Absolutely the government's business to know which Americans haven't been vaccinated. And this is the punchline here. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible. Let me say that to you again. This is a federal Health and Human Services Secretary approved by the Senate. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible. What country do we live in? Where do your rights come from? Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra said last Thursday, it was absolutely the government's business to know which Americans haven't been vaccinated yet against the coronavirus. Responding to GOP criticisms of the Biden administration's planned door-to-door campaign to encourage unvaccinated Americans to inoculate themselves, Becerra told CNN the government has to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. No, you don't. That's my responsibility, Xavier. Quote, so it is absolutely the government's business, if it's taxpayers' business, if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy, he said. Well, who shut down the economy, sir? That would be the government. Becerra said people didn't have to answer the door. You think? Because you're on private property. We're going to get to more on that here in a little bit, okay? But he hoped that they would so officials could dispel rumors about the vaccine, which has proven to be highly effective in driving down cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Not to mention all of us folks that have already had COVID, like me. Hello, right here. COVID-positive person back in January, who now have antibodies and resistance for a long time. Not to mention herd immunity people and then other people that are just immune. But we're not going to talk about that. We can only talk about the vaccine. Citing concerns over the Delta variant of the virus, White House, there's always going to be another variant. Is there not? Isn't that the flu season every year? We got a couple different kinds of flus. Which flu shot you're going to get? I don't know. I don't know which variant's going to come around, but get this shot because it's got the highest chance of helping you. They're going to do the same thing here because this is all about power and control. Sir, Xavier, this is not about your desire or your care for my health. You're in the party that's all about and all for and all for funding and all for defending the killing of the unborn. And now you want to turn around and you're the defender of my health? That's a joke. Citing concerns over the Delta variant, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said this week, the door-to-door push is designed to inform people in less vaccinated pockets of the country. By the way, how do they know where those are? Keep that thought. Dog-ear that. About where to get the shot and address their concerns about the where to get the shot. They're acting like it's not readily available. You can go get a donut, a free donut for getting the shot. What are they talking about? Asked by anchor Brian Kyler if the administration was considering more aggressive measures to get people vaccinated. What a good question. But Sarah Hedge saying he wanted people to have as much freedom and choice as possible. Well, thank you, Lord Xavier. Quote, we want to give people the sense. I love this. This is so telling. I appreciate his honesty. We want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose. That's like what we say to our kids. Hey, I want you to have a sense that you have some say in what happens here in the family. But we know the reality is you don't. You live in a benevolent dictatorship, kiddos. What I say and what mom says goes. We may tell you you have a vote and you can influence our decisions, but ultimately you don't really. We don't need to ask. We don't need to tell. We hope people make the right choices. We want them to have the right information, but we are America. Not anymore. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible. Wow, thank you. Let me bow down at the giant chocolate bunny. But clearly, when over 600,000 Americans have died, the best choice is to get vaccinated. Really? But Sarah clarified his remarks later Thursday in a tweet saying he'd been taken out of context. Sure you have. Some comments I made today are, please, Lord, help me. Some comments I made today are being taken wildly out of context. To be clear, he said, government has no database tracking who is vaccinated. That's bogus. We're encouraging people to step up to protect themselves and others by getting vaccinated. It's the best way to save lives and end this pandemic, says a man who's part of a party that's all for child murder in the womb. So, yeah. How do they know which houses to visit, by the way? How do they know? How does the federal government know which areas that they're talking about have more unvaccinated people if they don't have the information? He's contradicting himself all along the way. But hey, thanks for that sense of having the freedom to choose, Secretary. Boy, I've got a lot going on and a lot more to say. And we'll do that when we come back right after this.
There's a man going around taking names.
That would be.
And he
would that
decides
be,
who to free and who to.
Hello,
blame.
Mr. Noble. I'd like to talk to you about.
Everybody won't be treated.
The COVID vaccine. The wow.
There'll be.
So nice to see you. Some more to talk about there, okay? Because that's an issue. Now they're getting out there now. I had a report earlier today from a friend in Cornelius, North Carolina. Some folks were saying, well, there's some folks in wearing green and yellow. I don't know if that's a shirt or what that is, that are starting to go door to door. So we got to wait and see what happens here. And I want to tell you some things about that and share some things about that. But just to remind you what our Health and Human Services Secretary said, we want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose. Wow, the sense that you have the freedom to choose. Like, pull the wool over your eyes. But we hope they choose to live. Don't get it, die. Get it, live. We hope people make the right choices, he said. We want them to have the right information, but we are America. Sure we are. We try to give people as much freedom and choice as possible. Wow, you try to give us freedom and choice. Sorry, bro, that comes from God. Our rights come from God. See the Declaration of Independence. So here in North Carolina, this just went live last week. View or print your COVID-19 vaccine information. This is the website, covid19.ncdhhs.gov. That is the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Steve, I thought they said we're not going to have vaccine passports. As I said on the break on my Facebook Live, friends, how's the view there in the sand where your head is buried?
So, now listen, let me just, when I get into stories like this, sometimes I just get really fleshly and my attitude goes, I get very angry, I get disgusted, and that's what you hear, okay? I know that's not always the greatest witness as a Christian, but also these things are very serious and has implications for people made in the image of God. And when people made in the image of God are being abused in one way or another, you should care because of your Christianity. An actual right application of love your neighbor as yourself. You may need to show your COVID-19 vaccine information to businesses or venues. May is the operative word at this point. The North Carolina COVID-19 vaccine portal is a free, fast, and secure way for many North Carolinians to present proof, you good ones, to present proof of COVID-19 vaccination or print a copy of your COVID-19 vaccine information for other purposes. Again, I would go back to, and by the way, I have my yellow star here on my shirt here in the studio. And by the way, I would go back to them saying, we're not keeping a database of vaccinations, who's been vaccinated, the feds say. If they're not keeping a database, if they don't have access into that information, then how do they know where to go to knock on doors? Steve, you got to stop that logic stuff, man. It's so troublesome. So this is very important, okay? What should you do when federal agents arrive at your door with questions about your personal health decisions? First of all, and this is from leohoman.com. So it's a blogger, right? First of all, I take issue with that title. What should you do when federal agents arrive at your door? I am almost 100% sure that these will not be, quote unquote, federal agents. Okay? You use language like that in today's world and people think they're wearing a blue coat that says FBI on the back or HHS or something. We do not have enough federal, quote unquote, federal agents to run around and go door to door selling their vaccine philosophy on a neighborhood by neighborhood basis. So what I think is going to happen, if you remember when Florida instituted like a state line checkpoint? Remember, that was under Ron DeSantis, by the way. So nobody's perfect. And because we drove down there the spring of last year to go down to South Florida on the Gulf side to get out of here for a few days. And we knew about these checkpoints. So they shut down all of I-95. It was very intimidating coming from Georgia into Florida. Very intimidating. All that traffic on I-95 pushed over to the rest area right inside the border there on I-95. Very intimidating. Cop cars all over the place, state police, blah, blah, blah. You're like, whoa. And we rented a car, so we had enough room. And it was an SUV with New York plates on it. And at that point, they had shut down like New York and New Jersey. And if you show up with New York plates, you'd like to think somebody would notice, right? So you're worried about federal agents, quote unquote, checking you out. So we saw cops and stuff everywhere. But when we pulled up in the line to where they actually asked you, where are you coming from? They said nothing about the fact that we're a North Carolina resident with a New York plate. They didn't say anything. I was like, surely they're going to notice. I mean, I Facebook Live this at the time. But you know what it was? It wasn't federal agents that were actually there at the point of contact. It was just some people probably in their early to mid-20s that were not dressed in. They looked like they were going to the mall, and they're the ones asking us a couple questions, and then it took off. We were done. And that's what I think is going to happen here. They're going to get a bunch of people who want a job, probably going to have to give them a $50 bonus just to start working. And they're going to come up to your house. So what do you do? All right. So when people say federal agents, I think that's hyperbole. I hope it's hyperbole. Most likely it is. Okay. So don't go immediately think you're going to have some FBI agent or something showing up at your front door. I think these are going to be just hired hands, all right? So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ like I am, hospitality, love and compassion and patience is number one. Not your COVID status, not your vaccine status, not your Republican or Democrat, not your feelings about the government, blah, 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 blah. That is a person made in the image of God that Jesus died for, standing at your front door, which is actually an excellent opportunity to, I don't know, maybe do something with the gospel. Wow. So what do you have the rights to do? Okay, so this writer talked to John Whitehead, founder and president of Charlottesville, Virginia-based Rutherford Institute, who's been litigating civil rights cases against government for about 45 years. They're out for one reason, he said, to collect information on you. Because I think they're going to record your demeanor. They blew us off. They wouldn't talk to us. Whatever. Is the autofocus off right now, Seth? That's fine. So collecting information on you. That can't be good, he says. Data collection's out of control. Google, Amazon, Facebook are all collecting personal information. Yep, so that's an issue. Whitehead advises people to place no trespassing signs at all entry points to their property. You simply ask them to leave, he said. You're under no obligation to answer any of their questions. At the point you ask them to leave your property, they are trespassing. I'm telling people to put up no trespassing signs because that makes it easier. But even if you don't have a sign, they are trespassing once you tell them to leave. Okay? That's good. Hey, sir, we'd like to talk to you about the COVID vaccine. I'm not talking to you about anything. And by the way, you're trespassing. Please leave my property. You could do that. Or you could say, hey, I really don't want to talk about that, but I would like to ask you a question. Oh, okay. What's that? Do you know the Lord? Where are you at with your faith? What are your thoughts on life after death? I'd love to talk to you about that. I'm not going to talk to you about the other thing, but I'd love to talk to you about this. You want to come in? It's hot out there. Would you like some water? You're like, no way. Odds are that person's spiritually dead. So maybe we should take the opportunity to invest in them while they investigate us. It's a wild thought. Okay, so there's that. Many people think it's a form of intimidation. I agree. I think it is. He said, I advocate for not saying anything to them. Just ask them politely but firmly to leave. Matt Staver went a little farther from Liberty Council. This is a reminder of what happened in Nazi Germany when Hitler tried to target the Jews by using a census to get personal information. Okay, I understand where he's coming from, but in this context, in this country, at this cultural moment, I don't think bringing up Nazi Germany is necessarily effective in a conversation. For me, I just think that's not, that's like gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. No, I just painted myself into a corner to throw Nazi Germany in there, even if it's a valid comparison, which like, IBM collected information for Nazi Germany back in the day. Even if it's valid, I don't think it's necessarily strategic. Some more things on that, then we'll move on right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. A little COVID crazy today. Somebody on Facebook Live. CDS, COVID derangement syndrome. Well, that's plenty of that out there. And we were talking about people that are going to come by your house and knock and want to talk to you about the vaccine. And Paige, hello. Do you know Jesus? That's a good question. How about you're welcome to come in and ask them if they have a listing of whether I'm vaccinated or not. Sir, have you been vaccinated? Well, what does your information tell you? Now, you can get confrontational like that if you want. That's your choice. I'm going to err on the side of a Christian witness because it's probably the only shot at this particular person I'm going to have. If I happen to be home and they happen to come by, that'll be fun for them, I hope. I hope it'll be something that, because I'm not going to give them any information about the vaccine. And so all of a sudden, you know, what are they going to assume? Republican, Christian, white supremacist, whatever. I don't care. Label me all you want. But I'm just going to love them in return and show some interest in them and maybe share the gospel with them. Which the vast majority of us never do. Chris Ann is another constitutional attorney. Here's some points she had. You don't have to answer any questions or make any statements to any government agent or assignee. Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, a corresponding section of your state constitution, protects you from that. You have the right to be free from any government agent or assignee entering your property, your home, or your business without a warrant, right? We know that. You have the right to tell any government agent or assignee to leave your property if they cannot produce a properly obtained warrant, Fourth and Fifth Amendments. Simply demanding an agent or assignee of the government to leave your property does not waive your rights. That's not, you're not all of a sudden doing something wrong. You have private property rights, believe it or not. You need to be like the Apostle Paul, who knew his rights as a Roman citizen. And when the time was right, he took advantage of that. It's one of the ways God got him to Rome. If a government agent or assignee refuses to leave your property or returns to your property after being warned against entering or returning, that agent or assignee has committed the crime of trespass and is subject to arrest. Actually, I had a friend that told me somebody called a North Carolina sheriff, and the sheriff said, if they bug you and they don't leave, call us and we'll come arrest them because they're trespassing. Now, not every sheriff's going to play it that way, but the good ones will. The ones that believe in the rule of law. You have the right to record through audio, video, or photographic recording of any government agent or assignee on your property, either with or without consent of the agent or assignee. Multiple federal court opinions recognize that the First Amendment plainly protects the filming of officers and public agents. Well, that's a public agent. But I'm going to err on the side of taking advantage of their showing up at my front door to hopefully have a spiritual conversation with them. And pray before you answer the door. Lord, help me be a witness here. Think about their soul before you think about their job. How about that? Okay, another little curveball. The plot thickens. FDA expected to announce, this just came out earlier today. FDA expected to announce new warning on Johnson & Johnson vaccine related to rare autoimmune disorders. The agency plans to cite a link to a small number of Guillain-Barre cases after vaccination, but will say the shot benefit outweigh the risk. About 100 million preliminary reports of Guillain-Barre have been detected after the administration. About 100 preliminary reports of Guillain-Barre have been detected after the administration of 12.8 million doses of Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The Centers for Disease Control said in a statement Monday the cases have largely been reported about 2 weeks after vaccination, and mostly in men, many aged 50 and older. The Guillain-Barre cases are expected to be discussed as part of an upcoming meeting of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Most people fully recover, but some have permanent nerve damage, according to the CDC. People older than 50 are at greater risk. Officials are expected to emphasize that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is safe and that its benefits clearly outweigh the potential risk, according to the people familiar with the situation. Really? I'd say, what about the VAERS thing? You know the VAERS thing? Oh, here we are, page two. Reports of Guillain-Barre, whatever it's called, are rare, the CDC said, but do likely indicate a small possible risk of this side effect following the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Reports of the syndrome were made to an early warning safety system run by the CDC and the FDA, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. That's the VAERS. It collects information about possible side effects or health problems after vaccination. What about that thing? Well, I can tell you this about that thing, that the number of vaccination problems reported through that are way higher than all, it's been around for 30 years, are way, way, way higher by factors than the adverse reactions of all other vaccinations combined in the past 30 years on that particular. Here we go. Nearly 7,000 deaths and more than 25,000 serious injuries have been reported to the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System since the COVID vaccine was rolled out in on December 14th, 2020. This is more reported deaths than for all other vaccines since the VAERS system was set up 30 years ago. Now, that doesn't mean they investigated every one of those, but those are all being reported. And the number being reported, and not just deaths, but adverse problems, is astronomical compared to all other vaccines combined. So that's a problem, right? We should think that should be a problem. Other vaccines also have been associated with rare adverse events. The FDA in late June decided to add a warning to the Pfizer and Moderna coronavirus vaccines about mild, extremely unusual cases of myocarditis, heart inflammation, in some young adults and teens after vaccination. Federal health officials said there was a likely association and that the problem appears most likely to occur in young men after they received two doses of vaccine. So is it safe to say, Facebook, that there are some concerns reported and some confirmed that the vaccines have adverse reactions, cause adverse reactions, including death? That's an accurate statement. Now, Facebook's probably going to tell me I need a fact checker who's going to be some 22-year-old working part-time at Starbucks or whatever. I'd love to know who these fact checkers are, by the way, because they're like experts in everything. The CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services, together with 15 of the country's leading medical and public health organizations, issued a joint statement in June saying they strongly encourage everyone 12 and older to get the Pfizer and Moderna shots because the benefits of vaccination far exceed potential harm. No, they don't, because the potential harm for 12 and under is statistically zero in terms of death. Statistically zero. If you go all the way up to the end of college, 24 years of age, one year through 24 years of age, there's about 76 million people in that age group. And statistically, it's zero. The number that have died. Now, there have been deaths, about 2,000. But out of 76 million, it's statistically zero. Not that all 2,000 of those aren't tragic, because they are. And everyone made in the image of God with inestimable worth, which is why every abortion is a tragedy, whether they're going to be a scientist or not. If they're going to be a homeless person, that's still a tragedy. The value of a human life isn't found in what that human contributes to society. It's found in the fact that they're human, made in the image of God. I'll finish with this. Fourth segment, we're going to talk to David Fisher and get out of this COVID mess for a little while. This one, again, there's so much power and control here and so much manipulation and coercion. Like this one from the AP. Vaccinated teachers and students don't need masks, the CDC says. Wow, really? Because the vaccine's supposed to work, right? So if it works, why are you worried about getting it or spreading it? New York, Vaccinated teachers and students don't need to wear masks inside school buildings, the CDC said Friday, in relaxing its COVID-19 guidelines. The changes come amid a national vaccination campaign in which children as young as 12 are eligible. We're at a new point in the pandemic that we're all really excited about. And so it's time to update the guidance, said Aaron Sauber Schatz, who leads the CDC's task force. The nation's top public health agency is not advising schools to require shots for teachers and vaccine-eligible kids. I'll add, at least not yet. And it's not offering guidance on how teachers can know which students are vaccinated or how parents will know which teachers are immunized. Because we got to separate each other, right? Because that's healthy. That's probably going to make for some challenging school environments, said Elizabeth Stewart, a Johns Hopkins University public health professor. Quote, it would be a very weird dynamic socially to have some kids wearing masks and some not. And tracking that? Teachers shouldn't need to be keeping track of which kids should have masks on, she said. Well, just do this, like I have right here in the studio. Just put a yellow star on their chest, then we'll know. God help us. Really, I know I'm sounding all sarcastic and everything, but this is really troubling. All of this may prove hard to implement, and that's why CDC is advising schools to make decisions that make the most sense. The biggest questions will be at middle schools, where some students are eligible for shots and others aren't. If sorting vaccinated and unvaccinated students proves too burdensome, as if we haven't put them through the ringer enough in the last 16 months. Holy cow, this is child abuse on a national level, the way we're treating our kids. Again, God help us. State mandates are further complicating the issue. Several states, including California and Virginia, have policies requiring all students to wear masks at school, regardless of vaccination. But governors and lawmakers in some other states, including Arizona, Iowa, and Texas, have barred local school officials from wearing a mask. Again, if the vaccine's all it's made up to be, if you're vaxxed, why do you worry? What are you worried about? Supposedly, you can't really get it. You can't really spread it. And if I'm unvaccinated, why are you worried about me? You do you and I'll do me. We'll all be fine. But no. Widespread mask wearing is expected to continue this fall in some of the nation's largest school districts, but not in others. In Detroit's public schools, everyone will be required to wear a mask unless everyone in the classroom has been vaccinated. Yeah, let's just keep torturing our kids. What about requiring COVID-19 vaccination as a condition of school attendance? That's commonly done across the country to prevent spread of measles and other disease. Mark my words, friend, that's coming. The CDC has repeatedly praised such requirements, but the agency on Friday didn't recommend that measure because it considered a state and local policy decision, CDC officials said, at least at this point. But that takes me back to Xavier Becerra, who said, we want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose, not the actual freedom to choose. America, what happened? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Setting aside all that madness, all that COVID madness, setting it all aside, just putting it on the table, pushing it over to the side, reminding us all that God is sovereign, not the U.S. government. And if you know him, if you know the Lord through his son, Jesus Christ, if you're born again, all this stuff, every maddening story that you hear about here or you hear about online or in a podcast, whatever, all of them, all this earthly stuff one day will be gone, okay? It'll be gone. History, histoire in the past. So that's why you shouldn't sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew like Esau did. We need to be a different type of person in this culture than what we're getting on the media all the time, okay? Let's jump off of that train. Leave that train alone, the COVID train. Let's go back to our good friend David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on your program today.
You're welcome. And I love how I didn't even look down to see which passage of scripture you were doing today, but this always, God always just does a doozy here. And usually with something I'm talking about during the show, and then I'm like, oh, well, look at that passage that the Lord led David to bring up today. And this is another one. Perfect. Jeremiah 29:11. I love this.
It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Mm-hmm. Last week I talked about how miraculously the Lord healed me. My wife asked me a couple of questions. Did you share this? Did you share that? I go, oh, I forgot to share that. So I'm going to share the second part. So I had this thing called a congestive heart failure, which was my heart wasn't pumping only at 10%. After 12 days in the hospital, I told that story. They released me. 2 days later, my heart went racing at 215 beats a minute, which is just bop, 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 beating that fast. I went. We called 911. They drove me in the ambulance to the hospital four times in the ambulance and the ER. They injected serum in me to slow my heart down. That was at 225. The doctor said, you're going to have a massive heart attack. I wouldn't survive from it because my heart was only beating a fraction, infraction, pumping at 10%. So they said, we got to turn your heart off, flatline you. So I said goodbye to my wife, told her how much I loved her. I said, I'll see you in a moment or I'll see you on the other side. It was very emotional. I've told this story, so I've gotten past that emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the readout. So why am I sharing that? Because that was the day that I thought the death and evil, and even though I'm not afraid of dying one bit, could have happened. And that was the reality. But God had plans for me, a welfare, a future, and a hope. And it was because of that. When five doctors previously said, go get your financial affairs to order, you're going to only live 3 months to a year, I found miraculously, where the Lord put us together is really, really happened, an amazing cardiologist, and he did a surgery on me within a week, and then he put a pacemaker in me a month and a half later, and then we did it a couple times because it didn't work. Long story short, then they had this clinical trial device that's in my right chest that 480 people have in the world.
Wow.
And I was one of those special people, the youngest, second youngest in this clinical trial. If it was any other doctor, I would have never found this out.
Wow.
If I had to apply to get this device, and of I passed that test, and that was a miracle. Of the people that apply, only one in three get chosen by the computer. I got chosen. That was another miracle. And he says, still the odds are against you. Only about 10% really this helps. And I've had a complete recovery. So it's been miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle because the Lord has plans for welfare, a future, and a hope. And this same today for me as it is for everybody hearing our voice, Steve. He's no respecter of people. God has plans for your listeners.
Amen. That's exactly right. And those include things here, whether it's a 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 30 years. And then, of course, unbelievable, unimaginable, beyond anything we could think or ask or imagine, for the rest of all eternity when we're with him in heaven. So either way, we cannot lose. And it's such an awesome
yes.
reminder. What a great testimony. Thanks. Thank Mary Ann for me for reminding you to share that part because that was just awesome. I really appreciate that. It's wonderful. So what's on the financial agenda this week and how could that affect the markets?
Second quarter earnings kickoff season is today. Kicking off, as usual, big banks. And, Steve, also not just financial firms, but the industrials and materials and consumer discretionary stocks are also sectors that are very sensitive to the challenged economy. Those are coming out with numbers this week. Tomorrow is the CPI numbers. A month ago, it came in red hot at 5%. This is bullish. The fundamentals right now are all bullish for the stock market and the technicals, but there's a sentiment of anticipation is eroding because the market is rearing its head of volatility. It's an ugly head that it might correct, and analysts are saying we could have a huge correction. In fact, there's an analyst coming out, Jerome Powell. That's another thing that's happening this week. Jerome Powell is speaking before Congress, the monetary policy report, and he's going to say probably we don't have much inflation, although it's going to be after a day after this. But there's other reports coming out that we could have a possible huge correction coming on by Ned Davis Research. So a lot of things in the news today.
Yeah.
The big things are earnings and the Fed.
All right, so you mentioned the Fed. The Fed's June meeting minutes came out last week. So did they give you any hint of anything that they might be planning on in the near future?
Well, they did admit that they're concerned about inflation, that it's higher than they thought it would be. It's more persistent than what they thought it would be. They're not changing any of their guidelines, raising rates or tapering their buying of debt, treasury bills, and mortgage-backed security. But the data does support more stimulus is going to come. And there's no report out there, ironically, because the Fed says we're going to keep at it until we have full unemployment, which we have about 6% unemployment right now. They want to get down to about 3. But there's no data that says stimulus, Fed stimulus, government stimulus, will cause higher wages or more jobs being created. So it's a false narrative, unfortunately. But there's a lot of stimulus. U.S. household balance sheets, check this number out. Currently, $2.3 trillion in U.S. Citizens' checking and savings accounts post-COVID. So there's a lot of stimulus that's still going to be spent, and it's going to cause, you know, more inflation. That's the challenge with that, too.
So as we kind of unpack all this stuff, and we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, their website, landmarkgold.com, as we're kind of unpacking all this, what then is the number one concern? Because we're moving forward, because we're talking about inflation, we're talking about debt, we're talking about COVID stimulus money that's still parked out there, $2.3 trillion in sitting in bank accounts. That's going to get pumped into the economy because most of us don't sit on that. A lot of people spend it. So what is the number one? Is there a number one thing as we move forward that we need to be paying attention to that's the biggest concern?
Well, it's hard to choose number one because the government's going to stimulate more because President Biden has a lot of things in his pipeline he still wants to do, and that caused overspending. But debt, I think, would be the number one thing. You know, August 1st, a big landmark, no pun intended, is going to happen. Remember the years since 2001 until about 2017 or so? They were always fighting over a debt ceiling and raising the debt ceiling. The government was shutting down. Well, unfortunately, welcome back to that era again, because August 1st, the federal debt ceiling suspension ends. And that's right before the annual new assessing of the new budget that comes out in the end of September. So this fight that's been happening for over a decade is going to come back to us straight in our face. Debt is a big concern. We were $3 trillion of budget deficit last year. We're at spending so far $2 trillion already, so we're going to be $3 to $4 trillion at the end of this year. This is going to cause higher gold and silver prices, unfortunately, because every time they raise the debt ceiling, the metal market goes upward.
And, I mean, the Republicans, because they pretty much have to, will bark like crazy when it comes to the debt ceiling. And we got to do this and we got to do that. Maybe we'll shut down. Well, they don't have the power to shut down the government, quote unquote, shut down the government. So, again, to me, it's like kabuki theater. They're just putting on a show because they have to. But they know they're going to raise the debt limit. And then ultimately, morally, they don't care. Because by the time it all collapses, I mean, ultimately collapses at a huge level, most of them will be gone. Hopefully they'll be in heaven, but they'll be gone, and they just continue to kick the can down the street. David, is there any hope that I don't have any hope that the government's ever going to take debt seriously?
No, I have hope in the Lord, but it's man that needs to fix this because man is in charge of the stewardship of it, and it's set up to fail, and we're at that impasse level now because raising the debt doesn't say we're going to spend more. It just says we're going to pay for what we already said we're going to spend, but it does create this behavior of encouraging more spending. So it's a vicious, you know, gerbil on the wheel cycle, and it's just this time it's going to turn into a big catastrophe.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And then, so you mentioned gold and silver. Of course, that's your specialty. It has been for over a quarter century. So how do we just think about that rightly, David, as we finish up our time together? We know there's economic challenges coming. We know there's inflation. We know there's a correction out there somewhere. How do we think about gold and silver?
Well, inflation's coming, and you have to prepare for the future. That's all investing is, and so that's why you diversify. Learn about having gold and silver in your portfolio because it was the inflation hedge, the only effective one. So that's why you got to learn about it to see if that's the right thing for you.
And how can people do that?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575. We have a packet for them by calling, again, 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. Thanks as always. Great to hear from you. Thanks for sharing more of your testimony. Praise the Lord for that. And then we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, my brother.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. Have a great week. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Tomorrow, I'm sure, will be a barn burner again, just like today. The government and the world's making my job pretty easy lately. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.